One thing that I learned in secondary school is how to be a hustler.
I think I have wicked tendencies, but I'm not wicked.
You're always saying bad energy stay far away, but
bad energy stay far away, but you're the bad energy.
I dare you to lick in Kechi's pants.
You guys don't know I have brain. I have brain.
First of all, nobody asked. Second of all, your outfit is actually trash and we don't care.
The only time I'm on my knees is, well, that's classified.
Chidera, this is a family channel.
I hope my mother isn't listening to this podcast.
Hey friends.
Hi guys. Welcome back to the Care Baggage Podcast. It is in fact episode 85.
That was perfect. Okay.
And yeah, today we just felt like first of all, in the spirit of elections, that was kind of like the major thing to discuss. But also, yeah. There's a lot happening, so we're just like, let's just catch you guys up, give you the tea.
The tea.
So, we're just going to talk about the tea that's been happening since we've been gone. So, I'm sure most of you have seen that.
But sorry, should we apologize for not showing up last week? Hey, but at which point? Yes, in terms of what we've missed, first of all, sometimes I hate the fact that I'm a podcaster because I can't with my full chest insult the others. Because honestly, it seems like there's too much mic in the market.
When the revolution comes, the only people that are going to be allowed to keep their mics are us, I Said What I Said, and Shits and Gigs. Those two men are the only men I approve of.
Nineties babies.
And horrible decisions.
And
some of you
but very big points that very few need to keep their mics, because every day they're dragging somebody on the internet because of what they've said on their podcast.
And it's just
recently
become, you can tell it's just become like, with the podcast, everyone's taking that as bad publicity is still publicity.
And there go.
Like, the internet never forgets, bro. Like, stop it. Silly. But yeah, there was a podcast that recently came out of the Lagos stratosphere, and they got heat.
Now, I saw the clip that was circulating on Twitter that was causing all the noise, and I saw the clip that contextualizes it. And I will say, like, on social media, what people do a lot is that they like to take 10 seconds of a 2-minute clip and make it into what it's not.
Yeah.
However, even though that was just a bit of the conversation, I don't know what was going through their minds. Like, anyway, I'm meant to discuss what other people discuss on their podcast. But yeah, as usual, Lagos people dragged, especially Lagos men, because Lagos men literally have nothing to do most of the time. Most notably, Buju Benson, aka the fighter, the angry one. Had something to say. What did he say? He called them dimwits and cum buckets. Clearly, the beef between Buju and them is deeper than.
It's deeper than what this podcast is.
It's deeper than podcast.
But yeah,
this is just a plea to anyone who's thinking of buying a mic. I promise, if you have nothing to say, just like, maybe you should consider music. You can also use your mic for that, but this podcast thing is not really for
everybody.
I'm not able to say. It's not even to say that we're the best podcast ever, but you guys are lying if you say that you don't giggle and you don't, you know, have a good time when you're listening to us.
You guys. Yeah, no, if you're buying a mic, let's think about streaming, like, video games. Let's think about music. It's not always something is coming with neon lights in the background because you're about to start a podcast. I beg. It's enough. It's enough. Okay, next on the list, speaking about Love Islanders for a sec. Kaz Krusty.
Asian Kaz, by the way, not black Kaz.
Oh, yeah. For those of you guys that don't remember Kaz, Kaz was on the season with...
Season 4 of Love Island, the one that Danny and Jack won.
Danny Dyer, them lot. And she came, she was actually a Casamore girl that came back, and Georgia was calling her cat, Kami. She called her all names under the sun, except her.
Kaz.
Kaz.
Kira.
But Kaz Krusty was arrested. And by the time we found out, she had been detained for like 4 days.
A couple of days, yeah.
Yeah. And we're not even talking like if she wasn't detained in America, I said, okay, maybe. Yeah, she was detained in Dubai.
And what's the crime, you might ask? So in 2020, I don't know if you guys remember this, but in 2020, a lot of influencers got smoke for running to Dubai. A lot of influencers from the UK, they all went to Dubai. Lucky they went to escape lockdown rules, but they said, oh, they're going for work because they need to take content or whatever. So Kaz was one of those people who went to Dubai for a bit. Clearly, she was doing all work and no play makes Jackie a dog boy. Because a picture of her sniffing a white powder surfaced. This was in 2020, by the way, as in 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It surfaced, you know, there was controversy at the time, like, why would she do that in Dubai, blah, blah, but there seemed to be no consequences. 3 years later now, Kaz says she wants to go to Thailand and she's passing through Dubai. First of all, that's very dumb. Like, why would she do that? Maybe she thought it wasn't deep, but it's deep.
It's deep, bro.
Passing through Dubai, you know what they say? Come to one side. If they tell me, whenever they tell me, because you know how sometimes, especially in America, they do like random searches in the airport.
Yeah.
When they start telling me to come to one side, I'm always like,
actually, really random. If you get a boarding pass and you're going somewhere in America or like traveling out, shout out in the Americas, and it says SSS, four S's, you're going to be randomly searched. But that's a tip. If you see four
S's, nothing you can do about it, Sha, but just so you can mentally prepare.
Do you get? But yeah, they stopped Kaz because her face was on their database and they said, one side. And they carried her. She's obviously out now, and I think she explained the situation. I didn't really watch that part because I live for the drama, but yeah. Another Love Island. So you know how when you come out of Love Island, the biggest deals everyone gets is like, oh, Polly, Boohoo,
PLT.
So Ekin-Su was actually one of the people, and apparently the Opoly ones are harder to get. So Ekin-Su actually got a collection with Opoly, and everyone was really excited, blah, 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 blah. Well, it came out that Opoly has now dropped Ekin-Su because a collection wasn't really selling like this.
I saw a couple of things. So Ekin-Su actually dropped two collections. The first one, it was okay. It was nice. I wouldn't really say it's Opoly vibe, but it was nice. The second one was so ugly. I'm so sorry. The second one was terrible. Then, yeah, I heard it wasn't really selling. I heard apparently Ekin is difficult to work with.
I heard that.
Apparently, most of her followers are fake. Apaz. I also heard that...
What did she say?
I also heard that... This is just... I heard, I don't know. This is just speculation. I also heard that the majority of her followers are men in Turkey, Syria, and India. And obviously, that is not Opoly's target audience. So, yeah, they just felt like she wasn't...
I also heard that, obviously, her target audience was, like, you know, no hate to anybody, but, like, the older... generation, not the older generation, but like basically I think Opoly's aimed at
her age mates.
Yeah, her age mates basically. And Opoly's target market is like 16 to like 28, like people that still wear tight dresses to go out. That's
no. Opoly. But the thing is, had... the designs were not like, it was the fit, a 21-year-old's fit in a 30-year-old's design.
Yeah,
it was confused.
Yeah, no. And she, what did she do? She actually did something. Opoly is crazy though, because Opoly, like, their dresses range from like, I think at some point the most expensive dress on Opoly was like 120 quid. So Opoly came out with this collection, the artisan
700-pound dress. They say because it's hand beaded. Excuse me, Opoly, if I need a 700-pound dress, I'm not gonna buy it.
Like, I ain't finna buy from you. At that point, I might as well go to House of CB because that's half that price and I know the quality is great. But yeah, also Tommy Fury and Jake Paul. Tommy
let's
Fury.
Let's talk about it. Because for the past 2 years, When Tommy broke his rib, y'all were saying he's scared. When he couldn't enter America, y'all were saying he's scared. Jake Paul was talking a lot. He was talking a lot. And then
he lost.
And also Jake Paul was doing, oh, I'm so confident. They now went to go and bet double or nothing on the money. So Tommy was supposed to get 3.5 mil. I'm not sure how much Jake Paul was supposed to get. So Jake Paul was like, if I win, as in I'm Jake Paul, if I win, I give you nothing. So I take what I'm giving you. If you win, I give you double what I'm already giving you. Look, when Tommy had started drinking water, oh, that, huh? He has left Molly and the baby at home. He will now come back with no money. Tommy's dad was not like, we'll take it. Tommy's dad is an up. I understand that he had faith in his son and whatnot. But
Tommy's dad is just very, like, notorious. He's just very crazy. All of them.
You just don't make that kind of decision for somebody else. But I'm so glad it worked out in his favor. Tommy Fury won the fight. It was by split decision. And you know what? I don't watch boxing. That was probably the first boxing match I've ever watched in my life. But, so me, look at me talking about split decision as if I know what that means.
Yeah, vocabulary!
Split decision. But yeah, apparently that's when not all the judges agreed that. So one judge thought Jake Paul should have won, and the other two said Tommy. That's how he won. And I've seen a lot of comments about, oh, you know, split decision to a YouTuber, you might as well have lost, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, he won. If I get a first-class degree, who is going to check whether I'm 70 or whether I'm 75?
I beg.
So yeah, he won. Obviously, he came home. But also, there was a lot of discourse because just before the fight, a clip came out of Tommy talking about how, like, immediately after the baby was born,
he dipped.
Immediately after the baby was born, he dipped. Molly has not bothered him once about anything. And the girls were just not happy about that.
The girls were not pleased.
What do you mean the mother of your child has not bothered you about the child? So yeah, there was a lot of discourse on Twitter about it. Honestly, like, on one hand, I understand. But I think
Tommy,
the life of a professional athlete, like.
Yeah, I think obviously career is great, whatever. But I think Tommy needs to start cooling down. He can't just be up and going for matches like this. Because
at the same time, though, this fight has probably been months in the making, and Tommy and Molly Fury's pregnancy was unplanned.
True.
And they've cancelled it twice before. He will not cancel this one again.
True, sure.
In this case, I understood. But I do think, like, for the next year or so, he's just won 3.5 million pounds. What does he need again? For the next year or so, he just sit back and take care of his child, then he can go back and fight.
Yeah, when the child can shit, eat, and talk on their own, you can go.
When the child can shit on their own. That would eat and talk. That would take time.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah, hello, young woman. Anyways.
Benito say.
There's something wrong with him. Anyways, speaking about controversy, this one's always the topic of controversy every time. But Chris Brown sold out. He sold out the O2. And he sold
multiple out multiple times as well.
Sold out the O2 multiple times. And obviously the discourse came back around about, like, why are we still letting this man perform? And I think the next morning, Chris Brown's publicist quit. Because Chris Brown was going crazy on Insta stories. He was like, y'all need to free this whole thing that we watch Blueface and Krishan every day do the exact same thing and no one says anything. He now proceeded to post pictures of white domestic abusers.
He said, if you guys are going to keep punishing me for a mistake I made when I was 16 and
And I think there are two things. So, well, there's one thing. But when he posted the Blueface and Krishan one, Blueface, that one that can't catch a beat to save his life, came out and with a video saying, yeah, but you hit the wrong person. And Krishan's laughing.
And Krishan was in the back seat, yeah.
I think Krishan needs help. Like, I think she's being helped.
For my people.
The second thing is that I think Chris Brown talks about, like, I think he thinks that everyone just cancels him because of what he did to Rihanna. But, like, are we not going to talk about what he did to Karrueche? Because he
it's
beat
not just Rihanna. It's a pattern.
Down the stairs, like, bro, you have problems. Like, we're not... you have problems. And we're not just gonna slide past those problems. You're sick. But yeah, that whole Chris Brown discord. Chris Brown's really angry. Chloe, he released a song with Chloe. Everyone was clowning Chloe. And you know, I think it's
and Harley, I saw a tweet about how they should just become a duo again because clearly they don't have sense on their own.
Like, it's true. Chloe's publicist team, Chloe's team just hate her. Because the kind of stuff she's doing and releasing, like, come on now, Beyonce's prodigy? Come on now. And then Hailey's going out with DDG, who's messing with Ruby Rose, Krishan, Blueface. Come on now, Chelsea. What's going on? You people are Beyonce's prodigies. That's
you guys are Beyonce's prodigy. Like, can we... Beyonce doesn't just talk to anybody.
You guys... Oh, you people... Anu's right. You guys should go back as a duo because... Clever solo, you people are sharing.
And I miss what you guys were giving us. You know what, they were giving us jams like that. Yeah. No, I don't even know what's being sung.
I don't know what's going on. And then lastly, in the tea catch up, everyone has refused to sing for Charles' coronation. So they asked Ed Sheeran, Elton John, Adele, Harry Styles, or someone else. And Ed Sheeran,
and they said they're busy, but I think they're lying.
Ed Sheeran's actually on tour, so Ed Sheeran has a valid reason. They said Adele just said no. Elton John just said no. Harry Styles said
they
no.
They said Elton John and Diana are besties. So they were. Why would he now come and sing at Charles's, like,
without his royal mistress? Ain't no way, bro.
OMG. So I watched The Crown recently.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, The Crown is not fully, like, fact, but it's, like, loosely based on what happened in real life. And let me just tell you, Charles, that guy was a little shit. Like, the way he treated Diana. Mm-hmm. And then on one hand, I'm like, okay, they should have just let him marry Camilla in the first place. They should have left my girl out of it.
Yeah.
Because, anyway. Anyway.
Anyways.
So, but you know what? If the royals want to ask me, I'm sure they're going to pay whoever was performing millions of
like
pounds.
It's going to be like Donald Trump's inauguration where they got those guys saying, hey, now you're an all star.
All I need, I don't need millions of, just 20k, very 20,000 pounds, very. And I do anything you want me to do. So, yeah.
Yeah.
King Charles, hit me up.
Anyways.
Thanks. I sing, I dance, I act, and I tell jokes.
Before we actually move in to the actual
election season, I think you guys would have noticed that we weren't here last week. That was not planned. We actually got on the call to record. But honestly, personal reasons beyond our control meant that we weren't able to record an episode last week. We hope you guys forgive us. But obviously, life sometimes, and we can't control these things. But yeah, we're back and we're better.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just it. That's our apology from us to you because we actually said we're going to be keeping ourselves accountable this year. But yeah, so going on to the crux of this episode. Anyone who's Nigerian or lives in Nigeria for the past 4 days, there's probably only one thing that has really been going through your mind. Us Gen Zers, we have been flipping between Channels News and Arise TV.
Good evening. The time is now 8 o'clock. My name is Chioma Nwunke, and I'm bringing you the 9 o'clock news. That's all I've been hearing for the past 3 days.
No, and the way news people speak in Nigeria, I think I've talked about this on this podcast before. Hello, the time is now 9 p.m., and we are here with... and Badabo Roads Diva. the Labour Party candidate for governor of Lagos State. Hello, Mr. Badibo. How can we help you today? I don't know why they speak. They always sound very lazily, like, the time is 8:45 p.m.
Why?
Anyway, yeah, so just to give a bit of a backstory, obviously, in Nigeria, elections are every 4 years, and everyone who runs is allowed a maximum of 2 terms. And usually, if you win your first term, you're probably going to win your second term. So it's kind of like the American system, 2 terms. So most people tend to rule for about 8 years, except people like Trump, you know. But yeah, so that's how it goes. And obviously this year was election year for us. Our incumbent president, Muhammadu Buhari, but praising God, after 8 years, he can finally leave the seat. He can finally leave the seat and become the London resident that he's always wanted to be.
No, for real. Because in the past 8 years he's been in power, we've had exchange rate go from 150 something to 700 standing. Now, bag of rice is 40K. Flight back to Lagos. Economy or back of the plane.
Yeah, so this year, so usually in Nigeria, we have 2 main parties, which is how it is in most countries, except the difference is that we don't have a left or a right. We don't have a Labour, we don't have a Democrat and a Republican, we don't have a Labour and a Conservative. Everybody's the same, PDP and APC. Some people that were in PDP, they used to be in APC. Some people that used to be APC, they used to be PDP. Same parties. And usually, there's other parties, but like, as it is in other countries, like, nobody really cares about them. So usually it's between those two. We're usually between a rock and a hard place. 2019, it was between this Buhari and Atiku. I know a lot of people voted Buhari based on the devil we know is better than the devil we don't know. But it does not mean that either of them were good candidates. And so we were kind of faced with a similar kind of situation this year. So under APC, we had Bola Ahmed Tinubu, also known as Bat, also known as Asiwaju, if you know the Ruga song. King of Body Lord. But the problem with that guy, I think he's evil, as far as I'm concerned. Like,
the problem with that guy is that he needs 2 people to hold him to standard.
Yeah, that's one of the many problems with that guy. And he's just not a good person. Like, you know, he's a alleged drug dealer.
We don't know his name. We don't just know what to track with this guy is. We don't know where he went to school. We don't know his real age. We don't know anything about this guy.
They're saying he's 70, but like, they should be FFR.
70 with a 60-year-old daughter. How?
They should be whoa, he's just like 60 years old.
I don't know. That's what they were saying.
Yeah, so he's allegedly a drug dealer. He allegedly is someone who's puppet master. So we've been asking who gave the order. It's most likely him that gave the order. So I just think he's just not really a good person. Obviously, he has a hold on all the thugs, all the area boys, all the underground businesses in Lagos. If you're not paying Tinubu something, then are you really running a business? And so that's just not the kind of person that I want. And then on the other side, we have Atiku. Atiku has been running for, this is probably like his 4th term running for president. He should pack it up. He's never going to win. He's never going to win. He has been on EPC.
2 years after I've done it. Come on, Chelsea.
Chelsea, come on. Like, you're not going to win. Give up. Then, this year, something changed. You know, after the NSAS process in 2020, it was clear that, like, Nigerian youth, like, were not playing games anymore.
We were tired. Do you know how great it is that people were going, like, obviously the protest started, but the protest kept on because we're like, okay, how do we get people out? Hansa Renee was catering. Someone said it was on the menu. The youths were out.
Out. And obviously, unfortunately, ended with the massacre, which we still don't know who gave the order, but we'll get onto that one in a sec. But yeah, I think since then, like, people have just, like, it is no longer business as usual. People are not here for
what it
used to be. So this year, a third party candidate started making serious noise. So our third party candidate from the Labour Party is Peter Gregory. He's 61. He can run up the stairs. Yes, he can.
Peter is, as a nation, when somebody runs up the stairs, I'm like, yeah.
When someone's like, oh my God. I was like, he just ran up the stairs. Like, what's my going on? Day. Yeah, so Peter LB is our third. I would say a lot of young people, obviously, lots of young people in the country that was our candidate, a lot of obviously Igbo people that was their candidate. He was also the governor of Anambra State for a bit, so the people who kind of lived in and around that state were already able to see what he was capable of doing. So everyone's like, yeah, we've got you. On the day of elections, people came out. I saw also, and you know, that's another thing about our generation is that they're always like, oh, you're always pressing for. But without social media, we won't be able to know all these things. This is no longer 2005 where they can do whatever they like and we won't know.
There's proof. The internet never forgets.
People went to vote. After voting, they stayed at their polling units and they said, all of us will count the votes together.
There was DJ at some polling units. There was barbecue at some
more chops. Nobody has to go home. You can stay here and chill. Cool. So as of that Saturday, I saw videos from loads of different polling units, especially in Lagos, where Labour Party was sweeping. First red flag, after counting the votes, a lot of people are now saying, oh, sorry, we're not able to upload it onto the BVAS system, which is like the system that they developed to like upload the results from polling units to INEC, which is the Electoral Commission. BVAS was not working for over 24 hours. What do you think they were doing in that 24 hours?
Rigging! You know?
Someone said it, not me, in it, but I agree with that person, there's not in it. And again, you guys are going to say, how do you know? Social media is a fantastic thing. We've seen videos of youth corpus who were beaten up because they didn't agree to rig. We've had a voice call from a specific politician threatening members of the Electoral Committee. We've seen videos of people going into a room to go and thumbprint for another party.
And they broke the window of that room.
We've seen polling unit papers, numbers where one was 17, one was 107. They changed one to 107. They changed the other one to 17. It's not really making sense. We've seen incidences where, like I think this happened with AKC State, the number of votes that they said happened is more than the number of registered voters that was overvoting. So where did the extra numbers come from? So I think what is really just annoying is that a lot of us, well, not us, because I'm not in the country, so I couldn't really do my part, but a lot of people went out, did their part, and voted for the right person. But the issue with Nigeria is that elections are rarely ever free and fair. There's always rigging, there's always violence, there's always buying of votes. And because Nigeria, like most, the majority of the population of Nigeria is living under the poverty line. If you tell them, I'll give you urgent 2K if you vote for me, think about thinking twice. They're going to do it because...
And you know, it's very... I don't want to say it's very insulting, but this year, everyone always knows the situation with how it goes, and people are trying to make it as fair. So I know there was a lady that was trying to buy votes for a particular party at the polling station, and then they took her money and ran. Like, they're trying to keep it very fair, but in a place where the thugs were covered by security, what way?
The army members that were deployed were basically just there for decor.
That one that was holding RPG.
So it's just really sad because it's like, okay, yes, we don't want Tinubu to win, but if he won fair and square, I'll say, what can I do? That's what the majority wants.
You can do at that point.
But to see that, that's like Dino Melayo. Dino Melayo went
to the
Givenchy jacket to go and make noise in the Electoral Commission because he was like, "We're not accepting some of these votes because they're just not real." Go on.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say some small wins. Obedience, we won Lagos, as in we beat Tinubu in his own backyard.
We beat him in Bodilon. For those of you that don't know, Tinubu's house is on Bodilon.
Yeah, so we beat him in his own backyard. I believe we beat him by the larger number than what they gave us. It's okay, we'll take that. We beat him. We beat him in Abuja as well, did we? I think so. Yep. Yeah, cool. So, a win is a win. Let's start from somewhere. And then I also have heard a lot about how the favor of Peter Obi has trickled down to a lot of the candidates, House of Rep candidates for Labour. Nobody cared whether you, they don't even they don't know you. What's a CLP? Prince.
And you know what I like? Like Anu said, I don't think a lot of the older generation realize the power of social media.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think after someone was saying that the reason why Peter Obi has a lot of the youth is because his social media presence and all of that. And I was like, bro, you guys need to stop thinking that all we're doing is pressing phone. People are charging $5,000 per Instagram post. And you're telling me social media is not powerful? And you know, social media is also catching idiots. There were a few governors that voted and posted picture of their ballot paper with the invalid votes. So, which way?
Anyway, yes, that's the summary of what's going on in Nigeria in terms of the elections. So we hope and pray for the best. Whoever takes it, even though it's looking like one person at this point, but whoever takes it, we just pray for the best because at this point, like,
and someone said it. Someone was like, for other people, like, especially in the Asian community, you find people, like, go to America for grad school or whatever, and they go home. And I was like, can you imagine a situation where you've gone to America for school, grad school, and you're like, okay, I'm going back to Nigeria. Not the other way around. People are trying to leave that place. Shit doesn't work like that. In God's hands, Sha, because elections are on Saturday, and we still don't know who the president is. We're going on Tuesday. I'm sure we'll be going on Wednesday too.
Honestly, well, at this point, it's maybe till next week Saturday before we hear.
But I like it because they're realizing the youths are putting pressure. There's nowhere to hide. It's time for change. Like, how can we, in 8 years, everything just spoils? Things are hard. And some people are going to be like, oh yeah, but the people that have money, even the people that have money are struggling, guy.
I've been seeing, I want to mention this as well, it's a bit controversial, but I've been seeing a lot of talk about tribalism in relation to the elections, because I've been seeing a lot of things about how, like, since the Biafran War, like, Igbo people generally have been a bit marginalized, but it's been in a quiet way, so, like, obviously it's not as noisy as it was during the war, but some people are theoreticizing that that's part of the reason why some of our parents and grandparents, or some of your parents and grandparents, are not voting obedient.
No.
That's what people are saying.
We just need to face facts. We need a better country. And
I just don't get it. Like, you guys that are voting some of these candidates, as you're not able to collect cash from the ATM, are you happy? As the exchange rate is bad, are you happy? No, as you can't leave your house without being scared of if you come back. Are you happy?
No, before they say I'm talking, I've had enough.
You've been queuing for fuel for days. Are you anyway? That's the situation in Nigeria as we know it. We just wanted to talk about it because we're both quite passionate about the situation and the country. Just wanted to educate, share our views, pray for the best. Whatever happens, I just pray for Nigeria.
I actually do because it's very trying.
That brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to Enzone 85. We hope you were educated and we hope that you guys are not like terrible people. Like, we hope that you guys have good news as well. Oh, feel free to share them in the comments because we love when you guys comment because we love the interaction. All right, make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Care Package Pod and on TikTok at The Care Package Pod. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
This package has been signed, sealed, and delivered. Thank you.